So some of you guys don't know me. I'm Lori Scanlon. I serve in Spirit of God Ministries worldwide. And I feel like, you know, the Lord has a word for every one of us in multiple areas and in multiple ways. And today I'm carrying a package. Actually, I'm carrying several packages. And just to keep things easy for people who are not familiar with the walk of the Spirit, I'm going to go slow and steady so nobody stumbles. You go okay with that? Amen. So for you seasoned veterans out there, hallelujah, just pray. So before I go any further, I just want to tell you there is a set over there called The Walk of the Spirit. It is a powerful teaching downloaded from the Holy Ghost straight into Holly, many hours of sitting and listening, and then she prepared it and presented it to a large group of people. And that talks about the basic steps of walking in the Spirit. Now, I was lucky enough to go through a church split. And you guys are you guys are like, how can that be lucky? Well, here's the thing. It brought me into truth. And, you know, I remember the day the church started to crack. And I remember thinking, if this is like divorce, I don't want anything to do with this. This is horrible. You know, any of you have been through one, you know what it's like. It's blemished. It's terrible. It only brings discord, and the enemy is hurrahing all the time. But what happened was, before I went through the church split, I noticed, as many of you probably heard, that I am a seer and I have a gift of discerning of spirits. And first, I'm just going to tell you, I was born with it. I didn't get saved, didn't get it. I was born with it. Just like some people are right-handed and left-handed, I'm a seer. And so, you know, I thought everybody saw. I didn't know people didn't see. And so I had more confusion trying to figure out why people couldn't see what was going on than they had with, what, are you nuts? You know, there was like this dual battle of the flesh and the spirit. And I had to learn how to walk in this gift. And it's truly a gift. I didn't earn it. And truthfully, I didn't even know that I didn't want it or did want it. It's like, you know, you get up and shower, you get up and see. You know, there's no pressing in, it was there. Okay, here's a question. I just heard it. Back in those days, did I see angels and demons? Yeah, I did. Okay, so, but when I was at the church, I also have a gift, and I'm not saying this in pride. If you guys knew me, I'm very shy and I don't even like to talk to people. I prefer to pray in the corner. But I have a gift of intercessory prayer. And when I was in this early church, it was undeveloped or underdeveloped. You know, we hear Holly talk about develop the gift. And what I mean by it was underdeveloped is I didn't have my spiritual language. I wasn't praying in tongues. I didn't even know about it. I just was a saved believer. And how I got saved was I heard about hell and didn't want to go there. Okay, so I wasn't searching for a relationship with Jesus because I didn't think you could have that this side of earth. I thought maybe, you know, you might make it, you might hang for a while somewhere. My doctrine was so messed up, I had no doctrine, okay? So, and I had a lot of fear back then too because, you know, if you're not sure, you know, you want to get that little card that says, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and pull it out when you need it, you know? And so that was my relationship after salvation. Dead. But I was a believer. And so I'm going to church because that's what believers do. And in fact, I really wasn't going to church for many years later. It wasn't until I had kids that I started to go to church because I thought they needed religion. And well, what ended up happening is I got involved in ministry, you know, praying. And so we'd sit around and pray over the prayer requests. And I was, you know, doing the best I can in my flesh, you know, praying for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and believing for something. I didn't even know the Word of God. I didn't even read the Bible. I just went to church and got spoon-fed every Sunday, maybe, if it was every Sunday. A little spoon here, a little milk there. And I thought that was relationship. I thought that was religion. I thought that was the way it is. And what ended up happening is I started to, like, stand next to people, and I would go, oh, they're a wife beater, or, oh, that one's struggling with alcoholism, oh, that one's in pornography, And, that one, she's really in a tough situation. And I didn't know what to do with it because I didn't know who to talk to about it, and I certainly wasn't going to share it with anybody because I thought it was pretty private stuff. And so I would just pray the best I could in English, you know, away, not in the prayer circle, away. You know, I'd be like, Lord, help them, help them, help them. And that was my prayer for them. And then I started to notice some stuff happening in the church. And it was very fleshly and very ungodly. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I'm seeing this behavior, and I'm stunned by it because that's where I was getting my spoon of milk. And now I'm not getting my spoon of milk. I'm like, hey, I want my milk. Sound like anybody in here? So what ended up happening was the church, you know, here's the thing. Sin can only hide for a season. I'm going to tell you that. Sin can only hide for a season. If you are born again, spirit-filled, or if you're a rank sinner on the street, sin can only hide for a season because the light comes and reveals all truth. And so I'm telling you, I started to see this behavior, and it was about my pastor, and I was taught to respect my pastor. I don't know where I learned that from, but I just did. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I didn't say anything to anybody because what are you going to say? You know, they're split in two, and I don't know which direction to go to. You do get pulled into one or the other, though, or you leave. And so I got pulled into the good one. There's no good one, okay? That's deception. But anyway, what happened was I started getting hungry for truth. See, God puts hunger inside of every one of us. Every one of us, God put a desire to know Him intimately. And through my walk of trying to find Him, I encountered many counterfeits. You know, I went through some weird stuff and was trapped in bondage. And someone's like, what? Okay, alcoholism, drug addiction. Do I need to go on or you want... It doesn't matter. It's the counterfeit. And see, the enemy's job is to keep us bound in the enemy's camp. And so he woos. Ooh, come here. Doesn't this look good? Smell that. Doesn't that look good? Look at that. Isn't that great? And then you go and then he's like, aha, I got you. And you're held captive. And so... I'm being very honest with you. I was very, very messed up and needed lots of deliverance in many areas. And what happened was I started to throw this little tantrum. You know, I want to meet. I want my milk. I want my milk. You know, because it felt good for 20 minutes, for a week. 20 minutes for a week. Drive an hour for 20 minutes. So anyway. What happened was one of my sister's good friends, see, God sets us up for victory. I'm coming to a story here because God always is throwing another victory in our corner. You know, throwing another rope. Here I am again. Choose life. Here I am again. Choose life. You know, he's the overcomer. He comes and pulls us out of the enemy's camp if we reach up and say yes. And so, you know, I love how awesome he is and how wonderful he is because he never stops. How, you know, me, I'd be like, I'm too tired. You know, you go save him. I'm too tired. Oh, no, I'm going to watch his TV show or whatever. You know, I want to go talk to my friend or read a book. God never gives up. He's always wooing. And who is like our God? There's no one like him. No one. I'm just like, so I got to tell you, how I got to fast forward because I got to tell you how it happened. So my sister has this friend who was, she thought was in a cult. Because she was acting peculiar. And I was the only religious one in the household. What does that tell you? So they're like, we're worried about our friend so-and-so. And could you read the stuff and tell me what you think? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a spiritual. Of course I will. Well, there were documents. And I'm like, I don't know what any of that means. But I knew somebody who knew. And it was Brother John in the back. I've been friends with Mary and John for 1,000 years. And he was the spiritual one back then. We all go to him with whatever because he, you know, he knew it all. And I love him. And so I gave him the hard stuff. But there was this book called Divine Revelation of Hell. And I opened that book and I was like, I see. I'm a seer. Oh, that's what that is. Oh, you mean everybody doesn't see like this? And it was the first time I... was connected with my gifting in a tangible way where God was like, there's more. But it, you know, when you're a seer, oftentimes the enemy's job is to make you think you're nuts, crazy? You didn't see that? It didn't happen? If you say something, they're going to think you're nuts. And I'm going to tell you, yes, 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 yes. Okay? Here's the thing. When you're a seer, you are a little different because you're not in the natural realm. You're in the spirit realm. You know, and God is spirit and he is truth. And there is a war going on this earth. There's a war. There's a battle. Now, here's the good news. We win. We win. Every time we win, if we faint not. So, I'm going to try and go slow because I want to build up to here because really, I got to tell you, the best part about being a seer is him. So, here's the thing. I'm like reading this stuff and then I'm like, well, I'm like, this felt like water to my soul when I read it. And I'm like, where'd you get this stuff from? And it was a total setup because where I thought it was coming from wasn't where I was going. I actually ended up going to Edgar and Holly's meetings many, many years ago because I was drawn to the supernatural. And when I walked in those doors, I'm not kidding. If you're a seer, you see. And I felt the presence so strong, and I met Jesus in that meeting. I met him, and I was undone for his goodness. And I was like, this is incredible, you know. You know, you see angels, you see demons, and all this junk, but when you meet the King of Kings, whoo! I mean, any counterfeit is recognizable at that point. And I was like, my life is a wreck. My life is built on all this fake stuff. I'm going after you. I choose you. And so, you know, I would go to these meetings, and they were very far. I'd have to drive hour and 20 sometimes. And the enemy did not want me to go. And see, I'm young and not knowing how to. Oh, I got to tell you this. Thank you, Lord. So I'm in the first time at this first service, and Edgar Bailey stands up at the platform. Now, Holly's ushering in the presence. It's like, you know, drool, and it's like wonderful. And anybody who loves the presence of the King of Kings knows what I'm talking about. And the rest of you, ask the Lord to show you. So I'm sitting probably in the back because I'm really shy in those days, very shy in case I got to get out the door, you know, first one out. So I'm sitting in the back, and Edgar stands up and says, Satan's sitting in the front row of your church. And I was like, oh, my God. And he starts reading the mail of what I'm seeing in the spirit. And I wasn't sure, you know, because you don't know. You think, because the enemy's like, you're nuts, you're nuts, you're nuts. And Edgar confirmed it. And I was like, and he pointed his big old hand right into me, and I was like, and I started to cry a little bit because I was like, I'm not nuts. I'm not nuts. He confirmed by the Holy Ghost what I was seeing. And I left there with more questions than I had when I came in. And so what ended up happening, and I was drawn to the presence, drawn to the truth. And so I would go. And back in those days, I had little kids. And so it was not easy to leave my family and go to a service. And there was a lot of opposition in my household at that time. I was married and my husband was not on the same page with me regarding church, God, and I like to help people. And so he kind of monitored my time. And if I got too much churchy, he'd get a little too mad at me, you know. So I was trying to balance. And it was really hard to do. And if I didn't know the Holy Ghost, I couldn't have done it. Because the Holy Ghost gives us strategies and techniques and to help us keep peace in our house. And so I'm going, and at one time I went and the tire blew out. You know, I mean, there's crazy demonic activities that happen. But here's the really good news. We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And as we know truth, the truth sets us free. And so I'm coming against obstacle after obstacle, but not... See, I remember... I was at one meeting someplace, and some prophet called me out. And I don't really care about getting called out. I'm not one of those that is into, give me a word. But God sometimes will do it to make a statement in the spirit, like to release a prophetic utterance, like a standard or something. And he called me out, and he said, you're like a punching bag, one of those punching bags. You keep getting pounded, but you keep standing up. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I'm not, you know, I love Jesus, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, you know. And so, young and naive, I'm pressing in, and I'm seeing more and more stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what to do this. And then I got the gift of tongues. Woo, Shabande. And so then the revelation just opened, you know, and here's what happened. My past, I mentioned that I used to like drugs and alcohol, and I had an addictive personality. Still, I was not delivered of the addictive personality, and there's actually some demons that were trying to keep me back. And I'm going to these services, and the power of God is just all over me in these services at Holly and Edgar's. And, you know, God will woo you. He knows what you like. And he, you know, if I don't like spinach, he's not going to put a plate full of spinach in front of me and go, come on for some more. You know, if you know, some of us are like really into the Word, and he'll be like, come on, let's study the Word together. Me, I was all about the presence, you know, because I'm a seer and a feeler, and I was like, ah, this is better than cocaine. And this is, I'm just being brutally honest because there's a point here. And here it is. So, you know, I would come to these services, and his presence would be like the finest, purest him. And it was like, oh my gosh, all this other stuff is counterfeit. It's junk. It's plastic. And I got set free in one of those meetings, but here's what happened. He knew my heart. And I'll never forget it. One day, I'm like, I'm going to another meeting. I love him. And he said to me, you're a glory junkie. And I'm, you know, and you can't lie to God. Who, me? You know, not me. And I was kind of like, huh? You know, because I really didn't know what he meant, although I knew what he meant. If you know. And I was like, he's like, you're after the presence. You're not after me. And I'm like, you're right. Lord, forgive me. I want you and you alone. I don't care if I never go to another meeting again. I don't want any of that. I just want you. See, he was showing me what was in my heart. My heart was still corrupt. And see, you often see now, I'm telling you, this message is for somebody because I'm bringing it up because he's telling us because there's an issue with somebody in here. He's giving you a call to repent and choose him instead of the presence and the glory. Because there's here's the thing, if you go after just the glory, first of all, you're going to end up with one of those fat heads. You know, you're not going to be grounded in the Word, and you're going to be a big old fat head going around giving words. And here's what happens. At first, it is the presence, but eventually it turns to the counterfeit, and you start entertaining deception. Deception gets a foothold in your heart, and then there's justification. And then there's lying to yourself, and then you're trying to reproduce the last experience you had, which then becomes counterfeit. God's calling us out of that junk. I just felt a plate. I'm on a stove right now cooking, and I just felt a new dish come over. He's got a full meal. So, here's the thing. As a discerner, you know, we all develop our giftings. We have to practice, and we have to practice, but we have to have accountability. And our accountability comes from the Holy Spirit. We measure our word against the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not about what sister and so-and-so says, woohoo, or whatever. There's so much fleshly words in the body of Christ. It's disgusting. And we've tolerated it for too long. And then we sit next to it and we're like, well, it's just a stinky word. Hallelujah, sister so-and-so's on it again. We've got to stop that, you guys. God's calling us spotless and pure and holy. We're not messing around with this stuff. He's asking for clean hands and a pure heart. And we can't do it in our flesh. We have to go to Him and know Him. And then He changes us. You know, I remember when I was learning to hear His voice. You know, I heard very well. I don't know why, I just did. Then there came a season when He pulled me out of my comfort zone and put me in a rental house next to a gun range. And the guns would blaze all day long. And the police would practice. And it was very distracting. And the Lord would say, practice what I'm saying. Say what I'm saying. And it would be like machine guns going off. And I was like, this is such a weird thing you want me to do, Lord. You know, but I'll do it because you're asking me to do it. And I would miss it sometimes. I'd be like, hearing it, and I'd say it. And then I'd be like, hearing the guns. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm thinking about something else. I'm sorry. Here I am again, Lord. help me. And he would help me. See, he loves to help us, but we have to stop justifying that we got it together and that we know because we know. We know nothing in front of him. Here's the thing. He's ever changing. He's ever developing us. Now, we know he has established things into the earth, and there's some fulfillment that's coming, but we're the ones that are going to bring it to pass. He's waiting for us to come alongside. And we can't do it by a program or a book except for the Holy Book and the Holy Ghost. So, some of you know about prophesying and some of you like to prophesy. I'm going to tell you a story. I never liked prophesying. I don't. I just prefer to sit alone and let them whirl. I don't need to be seen or used, although God has chosen me to do some things into this earth, and I'm going to do it. But sometimes he uses the picture of me as a little bird in a nest, and I'm with him and just loving on him, and he's like, come on, I want you to go out and help the body. I don't want, I just want to stay with you. Go on. And he makes me fly. But I'm never alone. I'm always in him and with him. And so here's the thing. To me, prophecy is important, but the Word of God is more important. And we have to start, you know, we have to separate our emotions and our feelings from what the Word of God is saying. There's so many in the body that are broken, hurting, damaged greatly because of prophetic words that were uttered out of the flesh or misunderstandings or wrong interpretations of the Word. What's up with that? Why is it so important that you feel you need to give somebody a word? I'm asking you to ask yourself that question and then ask the Holy Spirit to show you His truth. Do you need to be seen of man? Do you have a man-pleasing spirit? I just heard 37 people have a man-pleasing spirit in here. So He's talking to us. He's talking to us. I remember when hair used to stand on my arms when somebody would come up and give me a prophetic word that was a flesh word. And I used to get really angry on the inside and be like, Lord, that's not you. And one time he showed me, because I asked him, I said, how does it even work? What's the point? And one time he caused me to see it in action. And this was in the season when the Lord was telling me, ask me about everything you do. Don't do anything without asking me. Meaning, what am I wearing today? What am I making dinner today? Should I go to this meeting? Do you want me to speak? Do you want me to sit in the left corner? He was training me. And that's basic small stuff. But here's what happened. I'm sitting in the second row. It's at an Edgar and Holly meeting. Holly's out of town. And so Edgar's holding the service. And I had just asked the Lord to show me the mechanics of a false prophetic word and how it happens. Because I just didn't get it. You know, what is the point? And so I'm sitting there and I did the thing I shouldn't have done. Somebody said, hey, come on up, let's pray for people. And so I just stood up and I stood next to this person, God bless her, and she started to prophesy. And we don't allow this anymore, by the way, I'm just telling you. She started to prophesy, and the person she was prophesying to had on a beautiful butterfly shirt. And she closes her eyes and does this, I see this beautiful butterfly. And I'm thinking, that's her shirt she's looking at, you know. And I'm like looking around, do I see butterflies? Is she seeing a picture from God? It was totally a flesh word. But here's what scared me. That person went, oh yes, yes, it's the butterfly. And I'm watching in the spirit the connection of the flesh to the flesh. And we know that the flesh profits nothing. And I'm like, Lord, get me off here. Get me out of here. And he's like, you did this to yourself. You didn't ask. And now you watch. And I'm like, I'm so grieved by what I'm seeing. And I'm like, that person really didn't care that she was receiving a fleshly word because it made her emotions feel good. You know what, soldiers? You're in a battle. And there's going to be days when your emotions don't feel good. And if you go look for some false prophetic word, you're going to get pulled off the front line. And you might just end up in the POW camp. And then we're going to have to pray you out. There's a better way. And I'm not saying I got it. But I'm saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You go to God first and He will show you the way of truth. He always does. So, just turning the stove up because we're going to talk about trust. Some of us struggle with trust, trusting God. Some of us have come from some tough homes. Some of us have been hurt and then God has been blamed for it by the enemy. God is incapable of hurting you. God is love, always. Wherever there's deception, corruption, that's the work of the enemy. Confusion, the work of the enemy. Now, wow, I got it. Hey, cue up that video. John Paul Jackson. We're not doing it now, but we're doing it before we go home today. Thank you. I just picked it up in the spirit. We asked the Lord about it. We knew we were supposed to use it, but we didn't know when. And see, that's the great thing. We don't know what we're doing. What are you doing now, Lord? What are you saying now, Lord? Oh, you're over here? Okay. Oh, you want me to do this? Why? Okay, I'll do it anyway. Trust in the Lord with all your... Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your strength, might. Here's the thing. Some of us have come from some broken homes, and we have been dealt a bad hand in the natural. No denying it. But I'm going to tell you something. The natural has no hold on you. The supernatural is more real and more powerful than any situation or circumstance in your life or in your past life. You've been redeemed from the curse. You've been picked up, translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Some of you are looking back into the kingdom of darkness and going, but that really hurt back there. If you can get your gaze set on Jesus, He is the author and the perfecter of everything. He knows. He cares for us so deeply, and some of us are like, well, I don't know about that. You don't know what happened to me. That wasn't God. That was a devil. That was a demon-possessed person. And God, He wants to be vindicated. He's, you know what? He's full of love. And it's time we come together as the body, as one, instead of these divisions. And there's going to be more division, but let me tell you, there's a remnant that's called. And there's a remnant that's coming. But I'm going to tell you something. We have to purify our hearts. We have to purify our motives. You know, I was laying in bed before the trip. And, you know, I should know this by now, but I don't. I'm laying in bed, just waking up in the morning, and the Holy Spirit dropped this scripture into my body. And I love when that happens, because usually revelation pops. And He dropped in this scripture, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thought, oh, am I going to preach on that? You know, I had no clue that He put that in there because I needed it. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot going on in the body of Christ, and we have to be steadfast and immovable. And how do you do that? You pray that in. Lord, You've got to make me steadfast. Lord, only You can make me steadfast. Lord, I need You to help me not respond to the right or to the left, but to walk. And I'm thinking of Psalm, you know, the Psalm where 10,000 will fall on one side. Lord, we will not be hurt because we're under the shadows of the Almighty God. Some of us are half in, half out. Make a decision and make it today. If you make it today, it'll go good for you. If you continue to waffle and walk and justify sin, sin stings. Sin stings. And just because you can't see what's happening from the sin in your life, it's affecting the body of Christ. It's affecting your family. And some of us are justifying, well, God hasn't struck me dead yet. You're going to stand before Him. Stand before Him now and say, deliver me of this thing. Set me free. I remember when I didn't know how to love. I was tough. I was a tough person. And I didn't know how to love. And I remember asking Jesus to teach me how to love. You know, I could feel His love, but I didn't know how to love Him. How do you love somebody, you know, what? How do I know? You're not going to hurt me. And I asked Him to teach me, and He has, and He does, and He continually does. His love is never ends. It's unfailing. It goes forever, for infinity. You can drink in his wells of love and get so intoxicated that when you just walk into a room, people go, where have you been? Where have you been? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. You need Him. He's a good guy. You've been hanging out with a bad guy. And you bring people out of darkness into truth. And so I want to talk about trust. So this is an area that I really struggled with. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood. I'll say it nicely. And I ran around with some tough people. And when you run around with tough people, you see tough things and you learn not to trust anybody. And I think the enemy set me up to try to keep me bound so that I would not walk out of captivity into the blessings of the Lord. And so with me, you know, God was sharing with me this, like, secrets of people's hearts and stuff, and I knew not to share it with anybody. When God gives you a secret, you don't go blab it and you don't go tell on someone. You pray it through. You pray it through. And when you think you're done praying it through, you let it sit for a bit, and then you check in again and pray on it some more, because there's always more. You know, maybe that person made a decision, and now you're praying into some more stuff for that person. And see, God wants us, He's actually calling us to be watchmen on the wall, to protect the sheep. Not everybody's called to this, but many in this room are. God wants us to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy, because the sheep can't see yet. A lot of the sheep can't see what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. As God's glory continues to get closer and closer and the time gets shorter and shorter, we're going to see stuff pop quickly. And that's why we have to stand steadfast. Because stuff is going to blow up to your right and your flesh is going to want to go, wah! But you say, Lord, what do you say? See, we get to practice this now. Lord, where do I sit? Lord, what shirt do I wear? You know, I didn't pick that shirt last night. The Lord picked that shirt. And when I looked and I said, oh, Holly and I have the same shirt on. I thought it was funny. So I put my coat on. I'm like, how did that even happen? You know, it was funny. But I thought, Lord, you're so funny. See, He likes to make jokes, too. You know, sometimes we take things so serious, and He's like, oh, yeah, I'll show you what's going on. We need to lighten up in the body of Christ. Some of us have our underwear a little too tight. And we're judging other people and wanting them to come to our standards. Let me tell you something. If that's you, get on your face and repent. Get on your face and repent, because you're missing the blessings of the Lord. They've been released, but you're in the wrong camp. There are some of you in here who struggle with judgment and condemnation. God wants to free you of that, but you have to make a choice. You can't justify why you're the way you are, because God created you perfect in His image. What does this have to do with seeing? We're going there. But first we have to clean ourselves up a little bit so you can hear what God's trying to release. So we're not stupid when it comes to what's going on. We know the book. We know what's going to happen. We know where we're going. And anybody who does not know where we're going, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be in paradise if you know Jesus Christ. Okay? So it doesn't matter what's going on in the natural. Some of us are called to pray things through, but in the end, we're going to be home with our Father in peace. Some of us struggle and fret over, that's not God's plan. When you're struggling, you're in your flesh, and your flesh profits nothing. Some of you are so concerned about family members, wayward ones. How's that working? Maybe it's time to release them to the cross, to Jesus and what He did. His ways are better. If we could fix things, we would have by now. We have to be transformed. We have to look to the cross and the promises and the resurrection power and life. And so when I was learning about trust, I was stretched past capability. And that's the way God does it, because then you can't rely on your own strength. That's the way He does it. So if some of you are like, I'm holding on for the very last string, well, you know what? Let it go and trust God. God will never fail you. Now, it may not work out the way you want it to work out, but God has a bigger and better plan. Oftentimes we fret and we worry on stuff because we think, oh, you know what happens when you do that? You seal yourself with a cap of limitations. And Holly talked about that last night with the blood and the caps on some people who weren't receiving. If you're not receiving, it's not God's fault. And it's not your spouse's fault, and it's not your neighbor's fault, and it's not your church's fault. And it's not because you were raised in a bad home or a good home. It's because you have a block. And God wants to show you. So what do? Show me the truth, Jesus. Holy Spirit, show me truth. What's your truth? I don't want to think about it. I don't know what's going on. Apparently, I don't have it right. But I know you do. And I know you're going to show me a way. And if I can't hear your voice, you're going to show it to me in your word. And if I can't find it in your word, you're going to put it on a billboard, because that's how good you are. He always is trying to woo us into truth. Now, the enemy is the one who will say, well, you shouldn't go. You know, that's not for you. That's not for you because of what you did last night. You know what? There's this thing called repentance, and you can get set free forever. You can get unhooked, but you can't justify your behavior. They're saying, ooh, we were going here. Oh, Lord, please. Okay, we are. Obedient. Here's the thing. Some of you are justifying your behavior. Some of you are justifying your situations. And that's causing a hindrance and a block to your spiritual growth in Him. You want more of Him? Die to yourself and your ways. Okay, we're shifting back over to the gifts. Seeing. So, I know some of you are seers in here, and you're like, yay, someone's talking about this, because I've got questions. I'm going to just tell you, I like to talk about the protocol of this gift because I've seen so many people wacky, okay? There's no need to be wacky at all. We are a vessel for His good pleasure. He does with us as He wills. But at the same time, we discipline our flesh to be subdued so that our spirit man is in charge, so to speak. And so God wants to disconnect the emotional, I see a demon in the corner, to get out in the name of Jesus. We got to stop this. It's been modeled in the church and in movies, and we got to recognize the flesh from the spirit, because there's power in the spirit. There's action in the spirit. And when it's the flesh, there's just emotion and hoo-ha. And a little wind, and then it dies out, and there's no change. I'm in it for the change, for the good of God, and the glory of His kingdom. And if your heart isn't that, then get on your floor and repent and ask God to change your heart. Some of us feel like we have to be seen when we give a word. Here's the thing. God sees you. When you're delivering that word, God's watching. Be careful with the sheep. They're babies. I've seen so much damage with words given that were so fleshly, from a pulpit, from an altar. It's not good, friends. We have to discipline our flesh, subdue it, die to it, bury it, stamp on the ground over it, and say, Jesus, change me. Resurrect me if you will. I want to be a living, pure, holy vessel for your good pleasure. Not for yours or for yours or to be seen by man, but is it really about God, or is it about being seen by man or used in a church or whatever? The motives of the heart speak largely in our behavior and our actions. And God he's tightening up the belt in the church, friends. We're going to see stuff that's going to make your hair curl. I'm not kidding. I don't want to scare anybody, because I'm not into that, but I'm telling you, we need to get stronger in the Word of God and the truth. And there's this thing called a spiritual battle that's taking place, and we don't wrestle with the people in the body of Christ. We take it out in the Spirit through prayer and proclamation. We don't have to call a committee and bring the lunch and then all the added steps. That's nonsense. Go to God and say, what do you want me to do? I'm seeing this. What do I do with it? See, oftentimes seers see and they don't know what to do with it. I can't tell you how many times I see stuff. I go, Lord. He'll say, don't do nothing. Don't worry. I'm like, okay. Other times He'll say, speak to it and tell it to go. Or do this or do that. You know, Jesus was a seer. He only saw what His Father did in heaven. Now we're representatives of Jesus. We all have the ability to see. It's just the gifting is not developed all the way because of fear, because the enemy has sown fear into people's lives, because he's afraid that if he gets caught or seen, you know, if the thief is caught, he has to repay. If the thief is caught, here's the thing. Oftentimes I see people struggling with battles in their household and they don't know what to do. Here it is in the natural, for those of you who have no idea what to do spiritually. If you hear somebody trying to get in your window, little rattle, 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 and it's locked and they can't get in, well, maybe they break the window. Are you just going to sit there?
No.
No. You're going to call the police. You're going to get up with your bat. You're going to do whatever it takes. Some of you will run under the bed and hide. But what if it was your child that the enemy was coming after, the bad guy was coming after? Then you'd get up. Well, are you any different than a child? No. See, we give leeway to the enemy too easily. We're lazy spiritually. We think, let so-and-so pray it when I go to church next week. Deal with it. Deal with the enemy at the door. It's a lot easier to win a war at the door than when he's moved in and then has invited his friends in and now you've got all this chaos in your house or body or church or whatever. We have to sharpen our discernment, friends. We have to. And the Holy Ghost is always like talking. You just have to tune in. Fine tune. What's going on? You see something crazy? What is that? He'll tell you. What do you want me to do? He'll tell you. And it's not the same all the time. Sometimes we have to warn people because seducing spirits. This is not a fun one, friends. The body of Christ is full of seducing spirits. Now, I'm not scaring you, but I'm telling you. If you don't think this is true, look in the world what's going on. Now, if you can imagine what's going on in the spirit, these little hornets are buzzing everywhere, trying to get us to compromise. They're constantly buzzing around us. You know what the protection is? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And proclamation, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And here's the other thing. He knows. Just because you can't see sometimes inside of your heart, the enemy knows what's going on. He knows. He knows what you did last week and that there's still a vulnerable area there. And he will seduce you. Now we think of seduction in the natural between a man and a woman in a marriage bed. Think about it in a spiritual way with a spiritual battle. The enemy is wooing. And how many of you have taken fruit from a seducing spirit? I had no idea we were going here today, guys. But this is rampant in the body of Christ. You're going to see leaders fall. They already are. Not because they're bad people, but because they've been seduced. There's areas in our hearts that God wants us to purify. You know how he talked about it, the fire being tried in the fire. It's not to hurt us, it's to bring purity. See, we've been taught, it's all about me, it's all about me. I want to be used by God. I want to do this, I want to serve in here. It's not. It's about Jesus Christ and his goodness. And Lord, I love you so much. What can I do for you today? Lord, you got to help me. I'm having this weird thinking. Show me what's up. It's called relationship. And God is drawing us and wooing us to come closer in relationship with him. And as I look out, I see people wounded. I see people bandaged. I see a lot of destruction that has been caused by the enemy. But there's only one way out of it. It's through the Father and his love. His love will heal you. His love has redeemed you. His love will restore you. And so as we continue to be ever transformed, we're a work in progress. Let us not justify and settle and sit where we're at. I see that a lot in the body of Christ. God's using me mightily. I raised the dead yesterday. What are you doing today? Are you worshiping the Lord? Or are you riding on that thing that's being fueled by a seductive spirit? Be careful. The enemy wants to take us out. He can't unless we yield to the flesh, because it's a flesh thing that the enemy goes after. Is this too much for you guys? Can I take a drink of water? Sure. If there's pride in our hearts, that's dangerous. You know, I remember one time the Lord told me, never live on leftovers. Here's the thing, the body of Christ wouldn't even know leftover from fresh manna. Most of the body is eating a crumb of a crumb of a crumb of a crumb with all this, whoa, says the Lord. Never live on leftovers. Every day we have to show up into His presence. And here's the thing, the world is calling us. The world, the list is forever long. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get ahead of the list. The better way is to sit in the presence and sow your time into Him. You know, the Lord confronted me a while back on, you know, I love to sow. I love to sow in many different areas and many different ways. And I made a decision. We were having this conversation because I got some correction. I love correction. I love when He corrects me. I don't know nothing. He knows everything. And He loves me and has my best interest. And if I'm slowly turning a little off course, I want Him to say, hey. And sometimes He'll give me a dream, and the dreams are frightening. It's like, oh my gosh, I repent. And it's usually about spending time with them. You know, I'm busy. My life is very busy. People always have a need, but you know what? He comes first. But I had to make that decision, and I had to enforce it in my soul against what my emotions feel, against when it's early in the morning and I'd rather sleep an extra 20 minutes. You know, there's 24 hours in a day. And I thought, you know what, Lord, there is 24 hours in a day. I'm going to sow 2 hours and 40 minutes a day into You. We'll see how that goes. And I love it because the first 20 minutes, I thought, I'm going to break it up. 2:20 in the morning when I first get up, and then study time, and then at the end of the night time. And the first 20 minutes, you know, I was like, oh, it was like 45 minutes later, I'm still there. You know, see, when you sow into Him, His goodness is so good. And the enemy's like, oh, you don't have time for this. You don't have to, oh, no, what about, put your phone down. I'm going to tell you something. The phone is a good thing and a bad thing. It's got a thing called the Bible app and a place to take notes and record when the Holy Ghost gives you something. But it's also one of the biggest distracting tools that the enemy is using. I can't tell you how many times, you know, and God got confronted too. You know, it's easy to get caught up in Facebook or whatever. There's some stuff that is trash, and it's always going to be trash, and it's never going to change. It's trash. And the enemy's trying to get you to be dull. And when you look at that screen, I'm telling you, it dulls you down. It makes you dumb. And it's a seducing, slow coming in. You know, I'm just going to be real. I can't stand Facebook. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I just, there's something in me, and I know it's the Holy Ghost. Before I didn't care, but now it's like I got this thing. There's like something not right about it. And I'm not preaching law to you, but I'm going to tell you something. I started laughing because, you know, I'd be like, I just don't want to be on it. And some people say they use it when they're in the bathroom. And I thought that was the funniest thing. I thought that's when they catch up on all their stuff. I'm thinking, yeah, so you're doing your duty and looking at the duty. You know, it's like, if that isn't a parable, I don't know what is. But I'm telling you something, guys. There's always that thing out there that's going to try to steer us from God and what God has called us to do. And we have to recognize it. And the only way we can recognize it is say, Lord, show me truth. Help me. And when we do, He does. Now, I'm shifting again because I feel like I need to address this. You know, sometimes in our life, as we have grown up, we have collected things. Maybe we went to a rock concert and had a wonderful time and bought the rock concert t-shirt. Maybe we bought the album. Maybe we bought Maybe somebody gifted us this piece of artwork or a piece of jewelry or whatever. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, and I'm not doing this to freak you out and make you look under your covers, but a lot of times, see, we live in an evil world and people have evil intent. And a lot of times, they pray over these artifacts. And then you buy them. You know, I remember when I was on a missions trip in Puerto Rico, which was really hard on my eyes, let me just tell you. And on the day off, everybody went to some place where you go buy junk. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go buy junk. And just as a memory of this trip, and I walked over, and the Lord's like, don't even. And I'm like, I couldn't even go down the block. I had to leave the group and separate myself. Not because I'm holy, but I'm protecting myself. Because I've learned, if you don't go, you don't have to fight later. Sometimes we go, well, I'm just going to go because so-and-so wants me to meet them. And you go to this dark place, and then you got all this junk on you. You smell in the spirit, and you're having these problems, and you don't know why. Well, hello? It's because you went into the enemy's camp. And so you got an enemy blessing, so to speak, which is really a curse. You know, I hate to say this, but I have to say this because I feel like the Lord is telling me. I was at a conference not that long ago, and I'm going to tell you something. This place is holy, and these people are holy, and I firmly believe that everything in this place is good, okay? But I was at a place, and I bought a T-shirt, and I liked the T-shirt. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, set the captives free. Hallelujah! And I liked it more because it was soft cotton. It was big and I could sleep in it. And it was just comfy. You know, it was a good lounge shirt. And I really liked that shirt. And the day came when the Lord said, throw that thing away. And it was like that, a split second. And the first time he said it, I said, Lord? And he said, you hurt me. And I you know, how often do we, but I like this. It feels good on me. When the Lord says, throw that thing away, you throw it away, you get it out of your house and off your property. You don't just leave it and maybe deal with it later. And I'll tell you, there were some shenanigans going on with that order. There was some ungodly stuff. I don't want to be a part of that stuff. Oftentimes, you know, we go through the burn it phase, you know, and if you haven't gone through the burn it phase, you walk around your house and you go, is this holy? Is this of you, Lord? Anything that has to do with idolatry, you know, If that great vacation, that wonderful time, and you bought that trinket, and you put it on your mantle, and every time you go by it, and you go, I remember that day, and it was awesome. And is there idolatry in there? I'm not saying there is, but is there? Because idolatry brings a curse. So I'm careful about the clothing I buy, where I buy it. If you're having problems in your house, did somebody gift you something? Because they wanted to give you a gift, but it really was not a gift. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or am I like, you had, some of you are blanking out on me. You know, there's witchcraft. Okay, there are evil people in the world. Their assignment is to stop God's kingdom from advancing. It'll never happen. But along the way, casualties get taken. Don't be a casualty. Do some spiritual housekeeping. Stephanie talked about it this morning. You know, if you have company over, sometimes they bring stuff in that's just not godly. We love them, but we sweep the house when they go. You know, kids, young kids. I remember the days when we were all together as a family and the kids would bring their friends over and when they leave, I'd be sweeping out the house. And they'd be, well, how do you do that? Well, just like you clean a house. You go through each room and you clean it out. I command anything evil to go in the name of Jesus. We release the angels in here. Lord, bless this house. This house belongs to you. It's sanctified, set apart to your good pleasure. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us need to start doing this. Some of us did it many years ago, and then now there's this pile of junk in the corner, and you're like, how did that get there? Just get rid of it. And don't bless somebody with it. If it's tarnished, throw it away. Don't sell it on eBay. Why so into that? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, I used to look at it as like, you know, cleaning my house. Like I would take a broom, but it wasn't a broom, it was my hand, and I'd clean the cobwebs out spiritually. I command all any work of darkness to leave in the name of Jesus. I wasn't waving my hands, but prophetically, you know. And I would apply the blood of Jesus. I'd dedicate the rooms to the Lord. That's all. It's not hard to do. Amen? Yes, yes. Yeah.
But it's like the shows they watch, and it's like they're in their 20s, and it's like I've told them I don't want it, I don't want you watching it, and so they watch it when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Out of respect.
Yeah.
But I just clean my house every night. Like the Lord's yeah. portal.
Here's the thing, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I'm tough in this area, so don't take offense if I'm too strong. But first of all, whose house is it? It's the Lord's house. You're a servant of the Lord, and if they're not, they need to make a decision. And oftentimes, God has given me this vision. I see people going up the mountain of God, and they're carrying their adult children in a diaper on their back. You can't take anybody with you. You got to go yourself, and because you'll end up falling over from heat exhaustion. You won't make it. And so I don't know what the circumstances are, why your kid is living with you, and I don't care, because I know there's a lot of people that are in this similar situation, whether it be drug addiction, you know, you bring them back home so that in hopes that they don't kill themselves, you try to do the best thing. But I'm telling you something, you got to get the heart of God on this, because if not, you're going to stay stuck. You know, video games, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed with people who have kids, beautiful children, that all of a sudden had a change in their personality. And I'll listen. And I don't even need to listen. Nine times out of ten, it's a video game. It's a gateway to the demonic realm. Remember I talked about the artwork? Same thing. These video games are demonic in nature. And if you're having... And here's what happens. You end up with the nightmare. Not the one that's steeping themselves. Maybe they won't tell you they are. But you'll feel the effects because you're sensitive to the spirit. Because you are dedicated to the Lord. Well, you can only keep sin in the house for so long before it starts to take over. You have to take a stand. And so I would ask the Lord for his perspective and for his game plan. You know, I remember, you know, I've got two beautiful children, went through a not a fun divorce, and, you know, I love my kids. But there were things I just would not allow them to do. My son, you know, he was in motocross, and some of those T-shirts were a little on the creepy side. You know, when wash day came, those shirts left. Not allowed in the house. You know, my husband was like, it's not allowed in the house. And where'd my shirt go? I don't know. It's gone, apparently. Did you clean your room? Is it under your bed? It's not. It's gone. It's in the, you know, pictures, you know, poster boards, you know, posters, you know, there was this one creepy monster drink thing, and I'm like, that thing's demonic, out of here. You know, when my kids got older, they tried to hide, but you can't hide from God. God would set it up for them to be exposed, and then they have the choice to make. Now, is it my job to make the choice for them? No. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I've ever shared this. I might have a long time ago. My son... You know, after the divorce, my kids were living with me part-time and him part-time, and my son was living in my basement. Now, my son, I love my son, he's funny, but he thought that basement was his, you know? And I knew that house was God's house, because God gave it to us. And we all knew, it was a miracle, and everybody knew that house, that God, that house, there was a glory cloud over it when we pulled up, and I had no money to buy it, and I got that house. You know, it was incredible. But he kind of took over the basement, and he was a teenager, and we were talking, and then, you know, 2 years goes by, and the Lord says, "You're moving." And I'm like, "But you gave me this house. I like this house." And then I'm like, "Oh, it's going to be better. Because this house is awesome. It's going to be better. It's going to have a stream. It's going, you know, thinking all this, you know, the house that God has for me." So One of the things I said is, oh, don't worry, kids. Well, I'll always have a place for you. You know, I'll always have a place for you. And I really believe that in my heart. As a mother, you think that. But the day came, and see, God knows best. The day came when the Lord said to me, he needs to go live with his father. There's something he has to get, and he can't get it from you. Now, my husband was not living a godly life at this time. There's a lot of problems going on. But I know the voice of the Lord. And I know his counsel is always true. And I said, you know, as a mother, it's hard to hear that. And I said, okay, because I know him and I trust him. And I had to go tell my son. I said, son, you're going to live with your dad. And he didn't want to go live with his dad because he had the basement. You know, and it was, you know, tricked out, as he would say, you know. And then his big concern, but he understood because it wasn't from the flesh that I spoke it. I spoke it by the Spirit. I didn't go up right away. I said, Lord, you got to give me the words. Lord, you got to help me. Prepare him. And see, he did and he does. And I'm going to tell you something. My son turned out to be a wonderful man. Wonderful man. And if he would have lived with me, he'd still be living with me. You know what I'm saying? It's not my job. My job's over. My job was to point them to Jesus. Do best I can. I've made lots of mistakes. Lots of mistakes. But I don't care that I made those mistakes. They're under the blood. And I pray for my kids. And I believe great things for my kids. But I don't measure their growth in God either. And some of us in here are measuring our kids' growth. And when you do that, you place a limitation on them. You cap them. It actually stunts their growth. We're not God. So our job is to raise our kids the best we can. Now, if our kids veer to the right or veer to the left, it doesn't matter. We have the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son. We point them to Jesus. If they don't choose life, there's nothing we can do. You can't drag them to God, to the altar, and make them choose life. What ends up happening is you end up carrying them on your back. They're 35 years old, and they're in a diaper, and the diaper stinks, and you're trying to press into God. And I'm not pointing you out. I could point you out, but I'm not. I'm speaking a word by the Spirit here to help us. You know, if we don't get this, see, what has the enemy got? What's he holding on to? It's always something dear to us. We got to die to that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. The day came, you know, I was actually forced to choose God or my husband. And some of you are like, no-brainer, you know, and it was a no-brainer. I mean, I love my husband, and I'm really good friends with him today. We weren't for a season, but we're very good friends now. And one of the things that happened was when I met Jesus, he wrecked me in a good way. And I turned out to be a better person because of knowing him. But people that aren't on the same page don't like that. And are we going to stay in the flesh and deal by the flesh, or are we going to say, God, at any cost, I don't know how you're going to make this work, but you're going to make it work. Did it work out the way I thought? No. But I still chose God. And the day came in the court battle where I'm pretty naive when it comes to stuff in the world. I just don't react to stuff. But the day came because I was listening by the Holy Ghost every step. What are we doing now? What are we doing now? And it was supernatural, every act. And the day came when my attorney called me and she said, I need to prepare you. You may lose your kids today. And they were in eighth grade, by the way. I'll just tell you their age. And I was like, what? You may lose your kids today, because we had our court hearing. And I said, oh, okay. And I hung up and I said, Lord, I don't know nothing, but I know you know everything. And I know that you're going to make this work for whatever's best. And right now, I am laying my kids on the altar. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving them to you. I've done everything I can do. I've raised them, changed them, fed them, pointed them to you, made a lot of mistakes, but I'm laying them on the altar. You do with them what you think is best. Went to court. It was ugly, nasty, prolonged, but God knew what was best. And it worked out for what God thought was best. Did it work out the way I thought? No, but I don't care. I don't have an opinion. When we serve the Lord, we don't get the privilege of having an opinion because we're ambassadors of the King of Kings. We don't get to, well, I'm going to think on this or flesh this out. No, there is no opinion. And so I'm going to fast forward. A few years go by, my daughter starts messing around with some drugs. Big time stuff, nasty stuff. Did I start crying and whining? No, I said, Lord, I remember the day I gave those kids to you. I remember it. I was sitting out on the patio. It was that court date. And I said, I'm giving these kids to you. What do you say about this situation? What are you going to do about this situation? And then he gave me words to speak. And he gave me prayers to say. And he reminded me of prophecies that were given over my family. And late at night, I'd walk up and down the street praying in tongues, declaring the work of the Lord. Now, in the natural, it didn't look good, but I'm not looking in the natural. And if you're a seer, it ain't so good when you're seeing your own family messed up. And it's natural to want to react in the flesh, but you know what? Thank you, Lord, that he helped train and discipline my flesh so I didn't react. And so here's what happened. It was a season. We prayed, we stood. And then the day came when my daughter came home. She was living with me, but came into my room and said, Mom, I need you to pray for me. We cleaned up the junk, broke off the stuff, burned up the stuff. Hallelujah. Now, if I would have said, oh, she's mine, she'd be on my back right now. And I'd be ministering like this. And is that the work of the Lord? No, it's not. And so for those of you who have kids at home, I can say this because I've been through it. God has a way. And when you are trying to wrangle it and hold on to it and figure it out, you're not letting go. You got to lay it down prophetically at the altar and believe God for his promises. And then when stuff, because you know what, the phone will ring. And it'll be the police. It'll be somebody saying, it's bad. No, God's word says. And you have to stand firm and not look to the left or to the right and say, God's word says that they will declare the works of the Lord, or drain a child up in the way, and when they wander, they'll come back. Whatever the scripture it is that you need, you stand on it. You stand on it, and you stand on it, and you don't worry. And then when the worry enemy starts to seduce you with worry spirit, no. God has her. God has him. Now, what do we do about the ones that are in the home? Father, you only know. You know what's best. And oftentimes we operate out of our flesh because that's what we were trained to do, to be good parents. A good parent doesn't necessarily let their 35-year-old live with them anymore. There comes a time when they have to grow up. And the longer we wait, the harder it is and the bigger the kickback. And what I mean by that is, if you've made things so comfortable for your adult child to live in your house, they're not going to want to leave. But you got to get the strategy from God, from the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you what's best, because maybe they're supposed to stay. We don't know, but God knows. And there are seasons when the family comes back home and grows and nourishes and rebuilds and goes back out. But it's never to be that you are their God. And that's what's happened. You have become God to your kids. And that means you're an idol. And idolatry brings a curse. And God wants correction and direction, not to spank you and to tell you, you know, you blew it. We all blew it. Anybody who's a parent has blown it. And the thing I know is we did the best we could. So the enemy can't hold that. I hear that right now. Someone's like, you know what? You did the best you could. Move on. Come out from underneath that cloak, because it's not true. You're not who you were yesterday. And God's pulling you. He's wooing you. He's like, come on, come higher, climb the mountain. Come on, you can do it. Leave your pitcher at home. Leave your kid at home. Just you. What about you with spouses? Climb. They'll come. They'll come find you. They'll be hungry. Where are you at? The presence of the Lord. I want some. I'm coming too. You don't have to say, if you don't come, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, this is the way it is. It's my way is the best way. I can't understand why you don't like to worship like me. You know what? The enemy has a foothold if you're talking like that to your spouse. We are all uniquely created with different giftings. My shoe won't fit anybody else's. If I tried on Holly's shoes, they'd be too small. She's got smaller feet than I do. If she tried on mine, she would swim in these. If I tried on yours would be too big for me. See, God has designed us uniquely. We are all connected as the body as one. The elbow, the hand, the foot, the fingernail, the eye, all of us. We all have a part. And some of us are too busy looking at somebody else's part going, I want to do that though. We need to come into who we are. We need to come into who we are and be comfortable with that. And how do you do it? Teach me, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to wear this. I don't know how to do this. Teach me. And he will. He is so gentle and kind and caring. He's waiting for us. And you knock, he will answer. Amen? Am I going long? Sure, go ahead. I won't get into. I just don't care. I don't care about that stuff. I don't have the ability to care about that stuff. And I don't mean it in a bad way. But you know, we know that there's a Jezebel spirit. We know there's all kinds. You know, here's the thing: we win if we stand strong. And if you see a spirit, ask the Holy Ghost what to do, and how to do it, and you'll win. You'll take the thing down. We always win. You know, oftentimes we get caught up in, well, there's a Jezebel spirit in that church. You know what?
Sometimes that is bantered around when it's not.
Exactly. I remember ministering to one lady who thought there was a Jezebel spirit in her church. And she read this book and told me all about it. And the only thing the Lord said to me to tell her was, don't engage. She engaged, you know, and here's the thing. She got clobbered. We're not to play. And see, what happens is sometimes we think we're in our spirit, but we're not. We're in our flesh, our intellect. You know, there's a lot of spirits that are into church, but the one true God, the Holy Spirit, if you connect with Him, you're going to walk victoriously all the time. And the revelation will just pop. Oh.
I just want to say, I know there's some popular stuff about this spirit and that spirit, and people actually are trained up to fear. It's a territorial thing. And you know what? I think that to put your faith in those things is to act like they are bigger than God. And the fact is, they aren't. They aren't. And what you focus on becomes bigger. And I'm disturbed because there's so much teaching about these great big devils. Well, I had a friend, really a wonderful person, missionary, and she had gotten a hold of, I believe, a bad teaching that there was this principality, but she didn't have authority over it because of whatever realm it was moving in. Well, I don't have a lot of patience with that stuff. Because Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all. I don't have to wait for an impartation. I have it. He gave it to me. He gave it to you. Period. End of discussion. And so when somebody starts to glorify that thing, so she called me and she said, oh, there's this terrible thing and I don't have authority over it. And every, you know, like, do you ever feel your hackles go up? And I wasn't mad at her, but it took about 2 seconds to nail the thing and to strike. And she said, wasn't it wonderful what God just did? And I was like, yes, it was. Hallelujah. But let's be real. God does that through those who believe His word. And I think we give way too much credence. It bugs me no end when people talk about certain spirits and almost glorify them. Next to Jesus Christ, they're like a little, like smaller than the smallest piece of dirt. Okay? And we, once we see who He really is, and we begin to stand in that and say, no, you can't come here, and you can't go there, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this. Amen. We have the authority, all of it. Jesus gave it to us. Okay, so it's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Hallelujah.